Here at the Thunderbolt, I tend to cover a lot of controversial topics from controversial points of view. And therefore, some of the other folks that work with this radio station always appreciate it when I point out that while they may agree with the views expressed on this program, they also very well may not. And in either case, they are in no way responsible for that content. Therefore, if my show makes you want to start hurling blunt objects at people, then make sure you choose the correct target, which in this case would be me, not them. And now, on with the show! You are listening to Free Radio Olympia, 91.9 FM. It is time for the Thunderbolt. And at the Thunderbolt, we believe in just saying no to boring public affairs programming. The Thunderbolt. Faster than a speeding bullet point. More powerful than multi-gigabyte bandwidth. Able to leap mixed metaphors in a single bound. Defending truth, justice, and the un-American way. Boldly going where no hack radio show has ever gone before. The Thunderbolt airs every Saturday at noon right here on Free Radio Olympia. Listen at your own risk. Well, hey, people. So tell me, and be honest now, have you ever considered how cool it would be if someone were to hit you directly in the crotch with an iron bar and you could just laugh in their face? Well, if that is your dream, then you will be thrilled to learn of Iron Crotch Kung Fu. The most famous technique features a 6.5-foot log weighing 88 pounds that swings in the air on ropes and then smashes into one's crotch. Their technique is reportedly just one element of the branch of Tongmeikon Kung Fu that has been practiced in Chinese villages for the past 300 years. And according to practitioner Wang Liu Tai, quote, "When you practice Iron Crotch Kung Fu, as long as you push yourself, you will feel great." Okay. I'm not saying that I disbelieve Wang Liu Tai, but I do believe that I will just take his word for that. According to fellow master Tang Xiaoqing, as well as Iron Crotch, we also have Iron Throat, Iron Head, Iron Chest, and Iron Back as well. Historically, the style of Kung Fu practiced by these folks has been a fiercely guarded secret. But as concern grew over its survival, word got out. And now that they're becoming celebrities, they may soon find that they now have way too much of a good thing. And here you thought that Iron Man was merely fiction. Greetings, my children. Welcome to the Thunderbolt for February 19th, 2021. in the news lately, everyone has been on the edge of their seats wondering what Prince Harry is going to do with his life now that he has largely rejected his royal position due to the royal rejection of his new bride. Well, I would suggest that Harry and Meghan might want to get lives, but whatever. The now ex-royal couple moved first to Canada, but very quickly thereafter, they relocated to Montecito, California. Perhaps they did not realize that since Canada is still part of the British Commonwealth, then that meant that they would constantly be seeing pictures of Harry's grandmother and all the money and portraits of her hanging in all the post offices. Anyway, it would appear that Prince Harry has a future in Christmas tree sales, should he want one. Yes, people, the semi-royal couple were in Big Wave Dave's Christmas Trees and Pumpkin Patch in Santa Barbara, California, shopping for a Christmas tree last December, when a 5-year-old child accosted Harry and, mistaking him for a salesman, firmly insisted that Harry show him the best tree on the lot. Is this an example of a royal personage actually doing something useful? Isn't that a very dangerous precedent to set? Well, maybe Prince Harry is actually a rebel after all. Who knew? Those of you who think that romanticism is dead, I would react to your cynicism with a repost concerning the story of a young Scottish suitor who literally braved death to reunite with his true love, and who in the end was arrested for his troubles.
That's why I'm telling you,
28-year-old Dale McLaughlin, a resident of Scotland, needed to see his love, Jessica Radcliffe, a resident of the Isle of Man. The problem was that the Isle of Man is not only 25 miles of a stormy Irish Sea away from Scotland, but it is also in England, which was under a serious COVID-19 lockdown. Well, I've heard it said that love will find a way, and in this case, it did indeed.
5, 4, 3, 2.
Mr. McLaughlin somehow obtained a jet ski, and even though he had never rode a jet ski before in his whole life, Mr. McLaughlin set out to navigate the 25 miles of ocean betwixt Scotland and the Isle of Man.
Can't be bothered with sorrow, and I can't be bothered with hate, no, no. I'm using up the time to be
Mr. McLaughlin estimated that the trip would take about 40 minutes. Instead, It took 5 hours of stormy, death-defying effort. And he arrived with only 10 minutes worth of gas left in his tank. Also, Mr. McLaughlin does not know how to swim. However, he made it. Amazing. His ordeal was not over, though. Now, he had to walk the 15 miles to Mrs. Radcliffe's home. But he also managed that without serious mishap. Mission accomplished. I haven't been able to find any reports to verify the fact, but I'm thinking that Ms. Radcliffe was suitably impressed by Mr. McLaughlin's endeavors. Things were going great, and Mr. McLaughlin seemed to have gotten away with his effort. Until he decided to go into town and party. Whereupon he got very drunk. Whereupon he ran afoul of the police. Whereupon the police figured out that Mr. McLaughlin was illegally in England in violation of COVID-19 restrictions. Whereupon Mr. McLaughlin was arrested. Thus, Mr. McLaughlin went to jail. Miss Radcliffe was placed into a 2-week quarantine, and Mr. McLaughlin was also in serious trouble with his mother, as he spent 4 weeks in the Douglas jail and thus missed Christmas with his 2 children. A family friend described Mr. McLaughlin as being thick as a brick. Well, that may be, but Mr. McLaughlin also has a heart of gold. And which of those 2 traits is the more important one to have, I will leave to the listener to decide. So even the mainstream media took note of the profound difference in the police response to the violent riot at the Capitol as compared to their standard response to the nonviolent Black Lives Matter protests. In addition, that assault upon the Capitol building required some pretty extensive planning amongst several far right-wing groups. And it is hard for me to believe that law enforcement did not know about those plans. I have been reporting for a long time that radical right-wingers have been infiltrating police departments. And that fact also came to the fore during these latest developments. And what is really crazy is that the right-wingers are doing everything that I've been saying we need to do for a long time now. They have rejected both of the political parties, and they have taken it to the streets. Yes, technically they support the Republicans, but that's only because the Rump claimed to be a Republican. And if the Rump were to reject the Republicans, I believe his movement would reject them as well. as they're rejecting all the Republicans who voted to impeach him. I've also proposed several times in the past that our elected officials should spend their careers being terrified of what the public will do to them if they mess things up. I have now listened to several interviews wherein politicians expressed profound fear as the mobs began ransacking the Capitol building. Democrats are now touting a return to normalcy, evidently ignoring the fact that the normalcy that they desire to return to is exactly what brought us the rump in the first place. And another thing about all this is that I can guarantee you there are going to be a slew of laws designed to suppress free speech and freedom of assembly. And I can further guarantee you that the left will be targeted by these new laws a lot more than the nutcase right will be. The left in general, and the Democrats in particular, are especially fond of passing oppressive laws. And while Joe Biden is likely to start lighting fires under the asses of the militias a lot more than the rump did, I can also see the left viewing the militias as potentially useful idiots who can be used as excuses to pass such oppressive laws. I also suspect that we came much closer to a successful coup d'etat than most people realize. During the election insanity, the Joint Chiefs put out a statement that specifically stated that the military had no business interfering in politics in any manner. Now, this was a very unusual thing for the Pentagon to do. The only reason I can think of to explain why they would do such a thing was because the rump had been trying to recruit them to his cause. I also suspect that if the rump had as much support amongst the Joint Chiefs as he seemed to have amongst the rank and file soldiers, then we might now well be looking at another term of Donald Trump that this time would have had no expiration date. Yes, I suspect that their revolution may have come closer to succeeding than many suspect. I have heard some people compare the Capitol insurrection to Hitler's beer hall putsch, which also failed at first, but ultimately his tactics worked in the short run anyway. So is the right getting it wrong, or is the wrong getting it right? Perhaps we could learn some tactics and strategies from the militias after all. stop clock is right twice a day. It is starting to appear that after the census has been finalized, New York is going to lose a seat in the House of Representatives, since Democrats completely control the state house in New York. Then they will be deciding which congressional seat is going to disappear. And since the Democrats hate progressives much more than they hate Republicans, then I can almost guarantee you that the seat they will eliminate will be Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez's. I can also almost guarantee that after they have eliminated her seat, they will then obliterate her district by splitting it up into as many more conservative districts as they can get away with, and thus dilute the progressive vote to insignificance in New York. And thus do the Democrats hammer yet another nail into their own coffin. And meanwhile, over on the right-hand side of the street,
the town in Georgia's got a law on the books. Says if we all got guns, then we won't have crooks. Now what could make them think that way? What could make them act that way? They're just a right-wing pigeon from outer space, sent here to destroy the human race. They don't give a damn about who you or me. They just buy guns and watch this TV. Let's go!
So I am now going to call upon my own personal expertise upon the subject.
The lady in Detroit owns a can of mate.
Of radical.
Got pissed at my brother, so he sprayed it in his
white
face.
Supremacist.
Now what could make her think that way? What could make her act that way? She's just a
said expertise having been gained
the human race
through spending
don't give a damn about it, you or me.
Over 6 years of living in close quarters with a whole bunch of them. Yes, people, here's what I'm talking about.
The man in the White House who just don't care. He stars little kid and he dyes his hair. Now what could make him think that? What could make him act that way? Just a right-wing pigeon.
Yes, people, I am talking about loud, aggressive, unapologetic, in-your-face, radical, white supremacist, complete with swastikas and portraits of Adolf Hitler tattooed upon their shaved skulls. And the number one objective of such people is to ignite a race war in the United States. They've been trying to ignite this war for decades, in fact. It is, in fact, the central focus of most of their efforts. Yes, that was why Timothy McVeigh bombed the Oklahoma City federal building. He considered his act to be a call to arms aimed at all the other right-wing nutcases in the country, and Mr. McVeigh honestly thought that his act would ignite their civil war. These people are dangerous. Violence permeates their entire reality. They need to be restrained in some manner. So I personally consider prison to be a very expensive way to make almost any problem much worse than it was to begin with. And indeed, American prisons are rather like a white supremacist gladiator school. But these people are insane. They live their lives literally steeped in constant violence and or the threat of same. And if left to their own devices, they feel they have a God-given right to kill anyone that they don't like. Unfortunately, prisons are the only place we currently have where you can guarantee that someone is incapable of posing any threat to the general public. And these people do indeed pose a threat to the general public, especially if they don't like you. When they cry freedom, they mean freedom for themselves, but for no one else. And their freedom gives them the right to do stupid and irresponsible things that endanger other people, such as refusing to wear masks and maintain distance during a pandemic. To extend their logic, their freedom must also give them the right to drive their cars while they're drunk, right? Wrong. And we're going to take a quick station break now. The Thunderbolt will be back in just a minute. The views expressed on this program are strictly those of the show's producers and do not necessarily reflect the views of this radio station nor anyone associated with this radio station. And now, back to the Thunderbolt. So, the Pacifica Radio Network is experiencing financial dire straits. And KPFK in Los Angeles is especially in trouble, and they need income. Now, the Pacifica Radio Network was founded in 1946 by a conscientious war objector named Lou Hill. And Pacifica literally invented listener-sponsored radio, which idea sounded crazy at the time. The core stations include KPFA in Berkeley, San Francisco, KPFK in Los Angeles, Santa Barbara, WBAI in New York, New Jersey, WPFW in Washington, D.C., and KPFT in Houston. Pacifica also distributes programs to over 200 affiliated stations and maintains a truly amazing historical audio archive. Pacifica's storied history includes breaking Seymour Hersh's revelations of the My Lai massacre, reporting upon bombings by the Ku Klux Klan when they were being ignored by the mainstream media, and people from Pacifica went to jail rather than to turn over the Patty Hearst tapes to the FBI. And Pacifica's numerous Supreme Court wins included the 1984 decision that non-commercial broadcasters had the constitutional right to editorialize, as well as the 7 Dirty Words ruling following an incendiary George Carlin performance on WBAI. KPFK has been broadcasting the truth to Southern California for over 50 years, and KPFK has one of the most powerful broadcast signals in the whole country, as well as repeaters throughout Southern California. Anyway, KPFK is experiencing serious financial dire straits. There are major internal battles between programmers and management. There are numerous commercial propaganda outlets that are salivating over the thought of gaining control of KPFK's 100,000 watts of broadcast power, and we really can't let that happen. Go to kpfk.org to get more information and to donate. Just before leaving office, Donald Trump pardoned the Blackwater mercenaries who in 2007 murdered 14 Iraqi civilians at Nisour Square in Baghdad. The Blackwater guards fired indiscriminately into a traffic circle that was filled with innocent civilians. Ali Kinani, whose family successfully sued Blackwater, was 9 years old when he was shot in the head during this incident. Almost everyone who was killed or injured was shot whilst sitting in cars, taxis, or buses. The ones who were killed on the street were shot running away for their lives. Iraqi traffic police initially tried to wave down the Blackwater men and inform them that there was no threat. But they too ended up running for their lives. Now this was an unprovoked massacre. Even the FBI stated that out of the 17 Iraqis killed by the guards, at least 14 were shot without cause. The only thing unusual about this incident was that it made it into the news. This publicly resulted in 4 of the Blackwater participants eventually being convicted after exhaustive trials and then receiving long prison sentences. Now you could argue that these men were merely adapting to their environments, and that the people who caused this whole cluster frig in the first place were even more accountable than the actual mercenaries who conducted the actual massacre. But to many people, justice had at least partially been served. Except that Donald Trump recently pardoned all 4 of them. Blackwater is actually called something else these days, but I'm forgetting what it is, and I don't care enough to look it up. The owner of Blackwater, then and now, is named Eric Prince. And Mr. Prince is not only a rabid Trump supporter, but his sister, Betsy DeVos, was Trump's Secretary of Education until she resigned after the assault on the Capitol. And even as he is granting full pardons to mass murderers of children, the rump fast-tracked the execution of a woman named Lisa Montgomery. Lisa Montgomery murdered a woman who was 8 months pregnant and then used a frigging kitchen knife to cut the woman's baby out of her womb with the idea of raising it as her own. The mere fact she did something like that indicates some serious mental health issues in and of itself. And indeed, Lisa Montgomery is an almost textbook example of common psychoses that are generally associated with a seriously traumatized child. And indeed, Ms. Montgomery's first experience with sexual abuse actually occurred indirectly when she was 3 years old, and she would lie in bed at night beside her 8-year-old half-sister Diane while their babysitter was raping Diane. Then, at age 11, a stepfather began raping Lisa Montgomery herself once or twice a week, along with regular beatings. The stepfather even built a room on the side of their trailer with its own separate entrance, specifically so he could rape Miss Montgomery without interference. He would rape her and sodomize her, often whilst smothering her with a pillow, and he often invited his friends to join in. And if Miss Montgomery offered any resistance whatsoever, stepfather would beat her, and once he slammed her head against the concrete floor so hard that Ms. Montgomery suffered traumatic brain injury. Then, when Ms. Montgomery's mother finally caught stepfather en flagrant, mother grabbed a gun. But she pointed it at her daughter, blaming her for the situation. So childhood trauma is probably our single biggest social problem, both the direct and indirect harm that it does to society in general and to individual children in particular. Children often make up worlds in their minds so that they can escape from unacceptable realities. And often they begin having trouble differentiating between actual reality and their imaginations and or their nightmares. Now, Catherine Porterfield is a child psychologist specializing in treating survivors of torture. And she has spent many hours with Ms. Montgomery as part of an appeals process in 2016. And Catherine Porterfield said, quote, "We need to understand what could lead to someone being so profoundly disconnected from their actions that they would be capable of doing something that a normally healthy person would find unimaginable." Unquote. Savagery is something that humanity seems to be evolving away from, and abusing children seems to be the central engine that drives the perpetuation of that savagery. Every time a child is abused, every time someone assaults or robs someone, every time there is a war, people in general, and children in particular, are traumatized. And the mind has a variety of manners to deal with this trauma. Unfortunately, many of those methods often prove problematic, both for the victim and for those around the victim. Perhaps at least some of those mercenaries in Nisour Square were also survivors of childhood trauma. Well, here is my opinion. If we really want to create a culture that is actually worth living in, then we need to make child abuse a thing of the past. And that means it's time to get to work. So that's it for the news and commentary section of this week's show. Activism is just as hamstrung as everything and everyone else is these days, except for the 1%. So the activist calendar is still temporarily suspended. And instead, I'm doing what I've always done for Seattle listeners and filling out the rest of the hour with music. And a couple of people have suggested I do that all along anyway, so it's no big thing either way, I guess. Though encouraging activism is the number one reason that I produce this program. Become an activist. Go change the world. We need you. Anyway, in keeping with the child abuse theme for this week, I happen to know of a couple of songs on the subject that I'd like to share with you. And I usually don't play music that was on the radio a lot back in the day, but I'm going to make an exception now. This is Aerosmith with One Solution to Child Abuse.
Sleazy ain't never gonna be the same. You got to look at the big picture before you spot the crime, because the damage was done long before our time. Grandpa beat grandma, grandma beat dad. Now that beats the butt all over our heads when he's had it. Fears turned to anger, a hard and empty shell. With a fist in my face, will we make it through this hell? In desperation, I get on my knees to pray. But God is in the church and he's only open on Sundays, yeah. God is in the church and he's hard of hearing. This goddamn culture's drugs, yeah, so full of what you fed them. Now your push has become their shove, and you're giving your addictions to those fussy material things. I mean, product of this Frankenstein, what are the monster will it bring? I'm not saying they are innocent, but we all have the choice. Grew up with chaos, so you too would have this voice. And screams are not a war cry, your accusations just aren't fair. Behind those guns, they are still children, children. And they are really fucking scared. They are fear of the voice, voice of society. When will we realize? Are just echoing what they see. When will we realize you? Are just echoing what they see. Well, I see them in the street. They are looking at their feet. They're wondering what to eat. And it's kind of about this time. And I see them in the garbage can. They're hiding in the corners, they're downing the bottle just to buy their time. I will not be hostile, I will give them a big smile. I will say come curl up in my lap for a while. Cause someone needs to cuddle you, someone needs to love you, someone needs to realize you're still just a child. The alleyway's no bedroom, the garbage can no fridge. Siren in the street and the mama sing you to sleep. love in return. I'll just stop it again. You realize you're a part of the problem. You're bound to never end. You realize you're part of the problem. You're bound to never end. It'll never end. It'll never end. And
actually, it does need to end. That was Echo from Mama Guru. Before that, we had Janie's Got a Gun from Aerosmith. That's it for this week's show. The views expressed on this program are strictly my views. They may or may not reflect the views of other people associated with this radio station. See you next week. Have a good one.